see me if I stand down here? There's nothing worse than trying to see a speaker through everybody's back and shoulders. Can you all see me at the back there all right? My wife can see me on the front row. Would you prefer me up higher or lower? I just have a problem. I like to be seen, that's all. I'm only kidding. So you can laugh. It's all right. Well, what a great group of people here tonight. I mean that. I mean, we didn't even know we were having a Sunday night. I think we made up our minds, or Vaughn and me, yesterday. And I said, no, I think we should just keep going. Keep going with this. There's a hunger. You get this amount of people out here. And what happens is, as the revival gets more and more into it, and if we have set nights, if that's the right word, where you know there's going to be a revival meeting Friday night, revival meeting Sunday night, a Kingston School of Ministry on Tuesday night. That's what's going to be. This is not this Tuesday, but following Tuesday. And then Saturday morning. So every week will be, not this week, but next week, will be Tuesdays and Saturday mornings will be school, Kingston Fire, School of the Spirit. This is just the host church. This is for the whole city. Because we want to see revival. We're convinced of it. But we've got to train people into it. What's it all about? Training you how to move in the Spirit. Training you how to do what you're seeing up here. Simple as that. And it's very easy, actually. Once we just know, techniques is probably a wrong word, but once we know from the Bible how this is for the priests of believers, it's not just for the evangelist, it's for everybody. We've all got the same Holy Ghost in us. And so that's a great thing. And so that'll be it. And this Wednesday night, and probably Vaughn will get up here later and say that, but you've got a guest speaker. I don't know who his name is. What? Eddie Elf. Andy Elms. He's a Pommy, is he? English man. The man of the Holy Ghost and fire. Come Wednesday and Thursday, he's here. It's all part of the Kingston Fire. We'll be here. We're just going back tomorrow to New Hampshire to pack our gear and move back. You're stuck with us now. We're moving back here. Just put another month of ministry on hold, so they're not very happy with me. But that's okay. You know, I'll go back there later, 1 year, I don't know. Whenever this revival lifts off here, I don't care if we don't go much elsewhere for a while, because we've got to get people I'm convinced, so convinced, that revival, we're at the beginnings of a revival breaking out. Meetings are getting better and good, but we just want it to spread out all across the globe. Those who are by webcam, this is going all over the States, and there's various parts of the world looking at this meeting right now. I know for a fact there's people in Australia, and the other night there's over 120 people logged on. Goodness knows how many people are on tonight. Is there any way you can tell? Sometimes it'll only show you the American, doesn't show you the international. Not that it matters, but just amazing how many people are getting on. It'd be good if the School of the Spirit too, School of the Ministry, was put on webcam so people can learn how to do this stuff. We're going to slow it all down and show you how to move in the anointing and how to move in the power of God. And it'll all be based on the Bible. It's all there. We're going to be teaching you flaky stuff. We're teaching you stuff that's evident in God's Word, because it's about the body ministry. And pretty soon in this revival, hopefully, some of you guys will get healed from people who are just sitting all around you. You might say, well, what about the flakes? Well, it's best to have a bit of wildfire than no fire. You can always put the wildfire. Who puts the wildfire out? The leaders at the front who are leading this thing. And you'll be all right. But you see, if you go telling off people for having a go, you put out the good people, which is 99% of them. Listen, in revival meetings, you're always going to attract the flaky people, because they just love all that Holy Ghost stuff, and they're on cosmic cookie land, you know? They've had too much spiritual granola bars or too much pizza or something, I don't know. And you're always going to get them, but God loves them. But, you know, don't let them rattle your cage. You don't stop the whole move of God just because of a few peanuts, you know? And so Holy Ghost is a very, very real person. Everybody's wanting to be in control. These meetings are designed for God to be in control. Church is so structured. Not this church, but church generally. I'll tell you, you go back to the book of Acts. The only structure they had was an orchestra leader called the apostles. And they were just the church organized, not the church disorganized, but the church orchestrated by the Holy Ghost through his gifts and ministries. And that's it. No constipations, constitutions, whatever you call them, and all that sort of thing. Do what you've got to do legally, then put it in the bottom of the drawer and forget about it and get on with the kingdom of God. Simple as that. Because that's what it's all about. Church programs aren't going to do anything in these last days. unless you want to be some seeker-friendly church that wouldn't even know who the Holy Ghost is. We want to see God move at work, signs, wonders, and miracles. A lot of people say, well, what signs and wonders got to do with the gospel? I'm not preaching on this, but look at this. This is very interesting. In Romans chapter 15. So you can just, great apostle Paul, who everyone talks about, but when we look at how he really, really, did I say Romans 15? Yeah, here we go. In Romans 15, verse 17, this is Paul talking about how the gospel should truly be preached. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak on anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God, but what I have said and done. By the power of signs, wonders, and miracles, through the power of the Holy Spirit. So from Jerusalem all the way to Iconium, I have fully, everybody say fully. I have fully preached the gospel. What Paul is saying is, there's many that preach the gospel, but to fully preach the gospel, it's teaching and preaching Christ, the word of God, the most important thing, but it's followed by signs, wonders, and miracles. And if we as a body of believers preach the gospel, but it is not accompanied by signs, wonders, and miracles, we're missing it. I said, well, what about all the evangelists who don't move in signs, wonders, and miracles? Well, they're missing it. As great as they are, there could be greater. I don't judge the ministry. I go by what the Word of God says. Signs, wonders, and miracles should be a part of everyday life in the believer. Not just in church, but in your life, in the marketplace. And how do I know? Because I've built quite a number of churches in my own nation, in Australia, with this revival spirit. Most of the people that got saved, averaging 15, 20 a week, most of them got saved during the week. Through our people, just winning people to Christ. Used to get them baptized in their pools and their bathtubs, whatever, I didn't care. They got them filled with the Holy Ghost because we trained them how to do it. But what about the flakes? Well, what about the flakes? Who cares about the flakes? Deal with them behind the scenes. Look at the 99% of the body of Christ who are wanting to go for it. That's what you look at. Anyway, that's just to show you, fully preaching the gospel is preaching Jesus, preaching the cross, preaching the kingdom of God with signs, wonders, and miracles. And we've got to get back into this. And we've been seeing them here. Loads of people's lives have been restored. People are getting set free from all sorts of things as well as physical healing. So that's a good thing. And everybody said, amen. Amen. What a great time of worship tonight. My voice will come back one day. Somebody's hidden it somewhere. I'll find it. But just the other night I screeched a bit too much. And it went.
But never mind. It'll come back.
Sound like Mr. Bean there.
Hello.
That's what I reckon. You ever seen Mr. Bean, that comedy show? That's exactly what Samson looks like. I'm convinced when I go to heaven, Samson will be this skinny little guy that's sitting in the corner of heaven saying, hello. Because if he is some big hulk of a man, when the power of God wasn't on him, why did the soldiers so aptly come to get him? Weren't even scared of him. They're only scared of his power that came on him. So it means he wasn't a physically big man. We often portray him as some, like me, very big man and great physique. But you know, I reckon, the Bible doesn't say that, it's just my little theory. And who cares whether I'm right or wrong? Doesn't really matter, but it's a good thing to think about. All right, we're going to receive an offering for our ministry tonight. And I just want to share with you something quickly from the Word of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Because I believe whatever we do, whether we're preaching on healing or miracles or receiving an offering, it should all be based on God's Word. And then the power of that is released. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, we're having a look at the true perspective of giving into ministry. Because it's a good thing. We'll skip chapter 8. We'll go to 9, 1 Corinthians 9. In verse 7, it says, who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Paul's asking the church a question. Who plants a vineyard and does not eat its grapes? Who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk? Do I say this merely from a human point of view? Doesn't the law say the same thing? For it is written in the law of Moses, do not muzzle an ox while he's treading out the grain. Is it about oxen that God is concerned? Surely he says this is for us, doesn't he? Yes, this was written for us. Because when the ploughman ploughs and the thresher threshes, they ought to do so in the hope of sharing the harvest. Now listen to this. If we have sown spiritual seed among you, is it too much if we reap a material harvest from you? If others have this right of support from you, shouldn't we have it all the more? Now Paul goes on to say that he didn't use this right. But a few chapters later, he says, oh, I think I made a mistake, guys. I think I should have used this right. Because he was a businessman who made tents and didn't need the support of the church to be an example. But later on, he found out that he was robbing people of a blessing by doing that. So basically, not basically, the truth of this scripture, what it's saying is, if a man or woman of God is called to preach the gospel full time, and they are sowing spiritual seed among you by releasing the power of God, preaching the word of God, worshiping God, whatever, then he says, is it too much if we reap a material harvest from you? Paul's saying it is a man and woman of God's right that if they sow true spiritual seed among you and help you to become more like Jesus, then they can expect a material harvest from you. It's not a matter of they preach to get. They don't. They preach to give out. But that's my responsibility. Your responsibility is to give in from the spiritual seed you're receiving, is to say, wow, that's changing my life forever. That's helping me to live now. So God says in his word, look after that person generously by giving them a material harvest. And a harvest isn't just people throwing in $1 or $2. Now, to some people here, $1 or $2 is a lot of money. It's not about the amount. But what I'm saying is, but we just say, oh, we just give them a tip. That wasn't a bad meal, give them a tip. And we do that in the church. And that's why the Bible says there, don't muzzle an ox while he's treading out the grain. In other words, don't stifle a man of God through your stinginess of giving when he's giving out good spiritual seed and helping you to become like Jesus. Don't stifle him by sending him on his way with just enough bucks to get to the next place and just enough money to look after his family. Bless him abundantly so his needs are amply supplied so he can get to the next place and have much more money so he can give out of his harvest. That's what it's saying there. That's what the Word of God's saying. People say, don't you get embarrassed taking up offerings? Not at all. Just as much as I don't get embarrassed in showing you how to move in the power of God or how to release healing or something, I don't get embarrassed at all because the truth's in God's Word. And I don't give a rat's whether you give or not tonight, to be honest with you, because God's my provider. So if you don't believe what I'm saying, keep your money. And if you're going to give stingily tonight, keep your money. But those who believe in where we're going in this revival, and those who believe that that we're putting, for my part, I'm putting in good seed into you, well, you do what you feel you got to do. And all you got to do is ask the Lord. It's as simple as that. But I can assure you, we look after God's money very well, and we're good givers ourselves. And God's a good God. What goes around comes around. Is that right? What comes around goes around, whatever. Just does it. Now, if you're writing out checks, just write out your checks to the Vineyard. That's the name of this church, the Vineyard Church. And they'll just look after me with one check at the end of it all. Or weekly, I think it's working out now, because I don't know if there's going to be an end. But why not? We're convinced revival could be here for years, who knows. But my job is to do myself out of a job. I believe training up people in the mantle that God's put on my life, add to what another person's got by giving them everything I know. And that's usually caught more than taught. So I believe in impartation. It rubs off. The mantle of God rubs off through association, through touch of the hands or whatever, through being responsive to that person's ministry. Okay, so that's it. Wasn't too bad, was it? Look at that. 5-6 minute teaching offering. That's very good. Some other guys can go on for hours and get more money out of you, and they got an anointing for that. I haven't. If I went on for an hour with a teaching offering, I'd bore you all to tears, and I'd probably get about $1 from you. But other guys like Rodney Howard Brown and Roy, they can go on for hours. You've sat under their ministry, some of you, and they've gone on for hours. But you're still giving a large amount. Why? There's an anointing on them. Roy's a great friend of mine, but I'm not Roy. I'm not even going to try and be like that. I haven't got an anointing for that. So, that's all, folks. Anyway, thank you. I was going to say offering bags. Thank you, ushers who are doing the offering. The offering bags just come out here by themselves. Wouldn't that be funny? Let's close your eyes. Father, we just thank you. Lord, just put upon their hearts what you give tonight. Some people are here can abundantly bless. Others can't. We thank you for the ones that have been giving. And if people have come unprepared tonight, then, well, that's okay too, God. I'm not going to know what they put in, Lord Jesus. It's just between you and them. And I just thank you tonight, Lord. You know my needs, you know our needs, you know their needs. And we just thank you. We all trust you, God. We all trust you. In Jesus' name. Well, bless you as you give tonight. Thank you, ushers, with the jumping offering bags. You are great. Oh, come on, voice. Goodness me. Sounded good. Sound like Pavarotti sitting over there in the corner.
You are great.
That's weird. I can muck around and my voice will come back if I sing like someone else. That's weird. Yeah, give him another drink, yeah. Oh, Jesus. We're going to have a great night tonight. Amen. And if you believe the power of God is going to flow here tonight. Now, this is not a healing meeting. This is not an evangelistic meeting. This is revival. Which means the whole idea is the presence of God is changing us to fall in love with Jesus Christ all over again. Which means if you're sitting there and you're feeling the spirit of joy come on you, let it out. If you're feeling to cry, let it out. If you're feeling to fall on your knees, fall on your faces, do that. If you're just to sit there, well, just sit there. It's important that you respond. Don't sit there like stunned mullets going, yeah, good word, brother. Now I think you'll respond to the word of the Lord. Let's not have any of that religious rubbish in here tonight. Just respond to God. You don't have to force anything, just respond to God. He's a good God. We're just going to have a look at a few aspects of revival, and I want you to turn, if you wouldn't mind, to Acts chapter 8. We're just going to have a look at how revival can sometimes have unusual manifestations. Whether it's people laughing, shaking, running around the building, whatever, I've seen it all. You say, well, that's not God. Well, how do you know? Same people who say, I've never seen the deaf healed. Well, how many have you prayed for? None. Well, that figures. I don't believe Jesus raises people from the dead. Well, have you prayed for anybody to be raised from the dead? You know, people who mouth off about things that shouldn't be, they're doing nothing in their own lives. And revival has just been open to God. I said, well, what about the flesh? What about people if they dance in the flesh? We all dance in the flesh. Of course we dance in the flesh, up and down like that. That's my body jumping up and down. I'm dancing in the flesh. But we bring a sacrifice of praise to God. We give it to Him. We come up with so much rubbish in churches. We really do. And we bind people with all our spirituality. Well, brother, and really, if you're religious in here tonight, just put a smile on your face and pretend you're not so you won't be offended. I try not to offend anybody, but there's an anointing here. No, it doesn't matter. Let's just get on with it. But in Acts, I want everybody to stay because I've got something very interesting to say. Acts chapter 8. This is when they're all in Jerusalem, and they all, after Jesus had said, tarry in Jerusalem, start off in Jerusalem, then go to Samaria, Judea, or Samaria, and the outermost parts of the world. But for the first few years, whatever, they're all enjoying the power of God and the saving power of God and the healing power of God and the joy of the Lord in Jerusalem. So God has to send a persecution on the church to scatter them. And so here we see in Acts chapter 8, it says in verse 4, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. See, they got the idea. Persecution made them scatter. It's either die or go out and serve Jesus. Literally die or go out and serve Jesus. So they went out and served Jesus and preached as they went along the way. Then the soul started getting saved everywhere in the other towns and countrysides. And so here we see, it says, Philip went down to a city in Samaria and preached Christ to them. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he did. With many shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralyzed people and cripples were healed. So there was great joy in that city. In other words, they reckon this particular town in Samaria may have had up to 50,000 people. You study these things in church history. But if there was 50,000 people round about in this town, because of the amount of miracles that were happening, there was many getting saved, and the whole city, the Bible says, was filled with joy, which means they're filled with laughter. Not laughing at people getting healed, but laughing because of the joy of the Lord that would fill their heart, that God was a real God. And they knew these people and they were getting healed. Now that's a pretty unusual thing to happen. In a city that was going along its own merry way, Philip goes down there, preaches Christ, many get saved, many get miraculously healed, signs and wonders and miracles break out, and the joy of the Lord breaks out in the whole city. Not just in a building with a few people are open to it, but the whole city. And then you go down where there's many, many people saved, probably the whole city. Say 50,000 people. Philip the evangelist, if he didn't have his heart on the kingdom and had his heart on just people and ministry and raising up himself, he would have thought, wow, what a church I've got. 50,000 member church just like that. But no, what does he do? The apostles hear about it because they're working in team together. The apostles are able to establish and get people into the life of the local church. And they just didn't start one church. They started many churches. When Paul used to write to the church of Ephesus, we often think there was just one church there. No, Ephesus probably had 200,000 people saved. How would you get 200,000 people? They had no buildings that size, anywhere near that size, to accommodate that amount of people. But when Paul used to write to many of the churches, say, to the church of Ephesus, to the church of Corinth, that word church means to the many local congregations, but one church. So the church of Ephesus had many congregations, but it was called one church, the Way. And so the apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers, teams of them used to go into a town. They'd all break up and go to the minister to all these different individual home churches that met together in the open marketplace once a week, whatever. And so, you know, the power of God was there. But Philip the evangelist did not have his eyes on his own ministry. He didn't think, wow, I'll have a great tape of the month. I'll be on worldwide media. 50,000 people in just a week's crusade. I've arrived. They didn't even think that way. They thought kingdom. It wasn't theirs. It was Jesus. And he just went on. And if you read the end of the chapter, he goes down the road and God tells him to go minister to one Ethiopian eunuch. Leads a citywide revival. Leaves that to the apostles. And he goes to minister and preach the gospel to one person. How many of you know you've got to have your eyes on the kingdom to be able to do that? To leave the mass crowds and the popularity that would have given him. Leave all that just to minister to one person. He sure had his head screwed on right in the kingdom. Because in our day, not many would do that. They would see that crowd as the answer to their worldwide ministry. They never even thought those ways in those days. It was totally kingdom. Whether they ministered to 30,000 or 3, it made no difference to them. It was whether they were led by the Spirit or not. But he obeys God and he ministers to this one person. Now, this is an amazing thing. Because then he goes to baptize this eunuch who happens to be reading the book of Isaiah as he's just riding along on his chariot. Philip runs alongside the chariot. Obviously, it was going slow. Jumped up and started explaining that it was talking about Jesus Christ. And so the Ethiopian eunuch gives his life to Jesus and says, well, you need to get water baptized now. So they just happen to be passing a little bit of water, a little pond or something. And so Philip goes and baptizes this guy. And in verse 39 of Acts 8, it says, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Now, this is a pretty freaky thing, very unusual happening. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about. Azotus, from the particular point that he was at, was 30 to 50 miles down the road. Yet the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. In other words, he just disappeared and reappeared a split second later, 30, 40, 50 miles down the road. Now, the Bible doesn't say that Philip thought, wow, what just happened? He says he just went on his way and just kept preaching in those towns. Which means, I guarantee you, Philip had many of those experiences have been translated in the Spirit. It was a common thing because it's not even mentioned as if it was a big deal. If that happened to somebody in here, you just suddenly disappeared and you were in another church on the other side of America, you'd be on news, you'd be a multimillionaire by the end of this week, because it never happens that we know of. It does happen, actually, but we think it doesn't happen. What am I saying? We want to see revival. We've got to be open to the joy of God. We've got to be open to unusual manifestations of the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying he's necessarily going to translate people. I've been translated in my car when I was driving across the Nullarbor Plain in Australia from Adelaide to Perth. It's about, if you're driving really quick, you could do it in about 26 hours. If you're only stopping for gas and that's it, and just keep driving, 26 to 28 hours. We made it in 21 hours. That's impossible. Me and another evangelist friend of mine called Eddie Coe, man, I trained. And we worked it out. We were translated 3 to 4 hours down the road. So we worked it out. It was impossible how we got there that quick. And so God can do that. Why do you want us there quickly? I don't know. Maybe there's going to be a major accident back there that we might have been involved in. I don't know. Well, all I know is he's a God of the supernatural. I've met people who were walking across the road and about to be hit by a bus, and they're just looking at the bus and going, oh, no. You know, the whole life flashes before them. And the next minute, they're in the bus over the road traveling, the bus they were going to catch. In a split second, just like that. Impossible. Just, they see the nose. They see this bus coming towards them. Next thing, second later, they're on the bus going the opposite way. It's across the road with all the heavy traffic. How do you work out that? There's a pastor friend of mine that happened to. God can do what he likes. I could tell you other freaky things, but you wouldn't be open to it, so I won't tell you those. But that was happened to some missionaries. They're translated all over the place because there's no transportation, and God wants them to preach the gospel, so they go to one place, bang, appear 100 miles down the road, preach the gospel, and boom, appear back. Anyway, we'll forget about all that. Don't want to freak you out too much. But God can do whatever he likes. He really can. Now look at Saul's conversion, the great apostle Paul. You know, in verse 3 in chapter 9 of Acts, it says, and as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him and he fell to the ground. You heard me say this the other night. And he heard a voice say, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I'm Jesus who you're persecuting. And he ends up becoming the great apostle Paul. But he had such a dramatic conversion. This guy's job was to drag all the Christians out of their houses and torture them and have them put to death unless they denied Christ. He was the man that when Stephen was preaching that great gospel message, they began to stone him to death. And the young man that was holding his outer garment standing next to Stephen as he died was Saul. He persecuted the church and probably was responsible for hundreds of Christians dying in that early church. He has this dramatic conversion. The power of God hits him so strong he falls to the ground, meaning he was slain in the spirit. Bang, he's under the power of God. God speaks to him. And then, after a few days, he wants to start preaching the gospel. You can read it. And so he starts to preach. The same man who persecuted the church is now in the synagogues preaching about Jesus. And they didn't receive him. They thought it was a trick, a conspiracy, whatever, to get into the church to destroy more of them. So they had to take him away, the disciples. He was so keen to preach the gospel. Most Bible scholars believe he was taken away and to hide away till people forgot about him, more or less, for 7 to 10 years, somewhere around there. Some say up to, even up to 14 years. So well over 7 years, he disappears. And the one that encourages him the most is Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. And he comes back on the scene as the great Paul the Apostle. But he has this dramatic conversion when light flashes from heaven all around him and he falls to the ground. What do you call that? You call that the glory of God, friends. Flashed all around him, touched his heart, changed his life. That's what happened. And so it's an amazing thing. Now let's go over to Acts. We're already in Acts, but Acts around about 17. Yeah, Acts chapter 17. This is Paul. He's well into his ministry now, planting churches everywhere. And now he's always in trouble wherever he goes. And it says in verse 5 of chapter 17 of Acts, but the Jews were jealous, so they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace, formed a mob and started a riot in the city. They rushed to Jason's house in search of Paul and Silas in order to bring them out to the crowd. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some other brothers before the city officials, shouting, These men who have caused trouble all over the world, now they've come here. What a testimony. The King James says, these men who've turned the world upside down are now here. These men had such power and fire and revival power about them that in their world of that day, they literally turned it upside down for Jesus Christ. And why we've called this revival the Kingston Fire is because we're wanting to turn this city and all the neighborhood upside down for Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. But it's up to you to get on fire, and it's up to you to get out of your religiosity if you've got it and totally fall in love with Jesus again and totally get filled with the Spirit and get out there and do the work of ministry by winning souls, seeing people healed and delivered by the power of God. You've got it in you. Don't leave it up to me. It's going to take years to do. But together it can be just in a matter of months where an incredible revival can break out. You've got to start believing in who you are and what God has put on the inside of you. And you've got to start looking at these meetings and don't be religious on me. And say, God, I hunger for you. I thirst for you. I want to be touched tonight. I don't care if you touch me in a way I've never been touched by the power of God. I want it tonight. Whoopee. I'll tell you, when we get that sort of heart. Listen, the prerequisite for deacons in the New Testament, reading Acts around Acts chapter 7, they had to be men full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. Just to be deacons waiting on old ladies and widows so the apostles could devote themselves to preaching and teaching. Just to be a deacon, you had to be full of faith in the Holy Ghost. In fact, two of those deacons were Stephen and Philip. One they stoned to death, and the other brought great revival to a whole city. That should be, you want revival? That should be the thing. They'll either react to you and want to kill you, or they'll love you to death. They'll love you. In my ministry, people hate me or they love me. Pastors welcome me to this city or they'll put announcements in the church, stay away from this man. Which is silly because I get more people come along then. When I used to be just a nice evangelist and just preached on the love of Jesus, everybody wanted me. But when I was hit with revival fire in the late 80s, when I was hit with revival fire, suddenly I thought, it confused me for a while. I'm moving in your spirit, God. I'm waiting on you hours a day. It's used as anointed to me. I'm seeing people saved and healed and touched by God. All these people are falling over the floor everywhere. Some getting struck dumb. Some just staying like that hours at a time. Can't move. Mental patients stuck on the wall. And by the time God released them off the wall, they were totally whole in their right mind, confirmed by specialists. And these mob of idiots, I've got a martial arts background. I just wanted to pummel every pastor I could find. Now, how's that for the love of God? I didn't, of course. But I felt like it. I couldn't believe it. I thought, hey, I thought my enemies were supposed to be the devil. Don't tell me you're the devil, please. There's a price to pay if you want revival. They'll either hate you in the city or they'll love you. A lot of friends you have suddenly won't want to be your friend anymore because they think you're a nut from being associated with a bunch of emotional drongos here. Australian sayings. Bunch of emotional idiots. You're not idiots. Turn around and look at them in the eye and just say, I love you. I pray for you. I bless you. Then give them a punch. Get into the flesh for 1 second. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Some people find it hard to love. And I'm one of them. In opposition I am. Because I like to fight. I'm a fighter by nature. I'm a fighter. I don't like to lose anything in life. I like to fight. And it takes a God a while to knock that out of you. Don't know if you ever will. But these men who have caused trouble, who've turned the world upside down, that's what I want on my gravestone, guys, if I happen to die in this revival. I want you to put on my gravestone, share. A man who turned the world upside down for Jesus. Don't put some pussyfoot thing and say nice things about me. A man who turned the world upside down for Jesus Christ. Went into a city full of religious devils and left with Holy Ghost wild people serving Jesus Christ with all of their heart. That's what I'm interested in. And I say, who let this madman out of Australia? Well, I don't know. All right, now over to Acts 19. We're just having a look at a few things from the Bible. How many of you can see so far, these guys are radical, man. Now, their world wasn't as big as our world because there's less people, but they turned the whole world of their day upside down. Which means they must have done an awful lot of preaching. They must have been radical, man. Absolutely. Anyway, in Acts chapter 19, verse 8, but Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. That's what they were called in those days, the church. So Paul left them. He took the disciples with him and he had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. I think, wow, this guy was a powerhouse. Then look at this. God did extraordinary. Everybody say extraordinary. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick people. And their illnesses were cured and the evil spirits left them. Just through touch, the power of God left him and went into those handkerchiefs and aprons. And the power of God resides, like we looked at the other night or last night, whatever it was, about Elisha, a year after he was dead when he was a skeleton. The people threw that man who was dead into his tomb, touched the bones of Elisha, and the power of God was still resident in Elisha's bones when it had enough power to raise the man from the dead. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is resident. It can reside in our clothes. I've had many unsaved people in shopping centers walk by me and come back and said, what are you about? I said, what do you mean? I had a migraine. As soon as my jacket just brushed your shoulder, I instantly left. And I perceived there's something different about you. I have a lot of people often come to me, seriously, and say, what's that aura you have all around you? You know for a fact that they're New Agers. They can see those things. And I said, that's not an aura, that's the Holy Ghost. I said, that's the power of God. I've got Jesus in my life. I've talked to that many hostesses on planes who've come up and said to me, hey, you're different. What's that presence that comes out of you? I'm serious. I've had this many times. Not all the time, but a lot of times. And I just, it leads me to telling them about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can all have that. But you know, extraordinary miracles. And pretty soon I'm going to ask for people who brought any items from your sick loved ones or unsaved loved ones. We're going to just pray the power of God into those things and take them back to those people. And believe God they're going to be healed. Believe God they're going to be saved. I was giving an illustration this morning. I've prayed for many, but the latest one I prayed for, a woman brought a hanky. She said, I've got an unsaved husband. He's terrible to live with, but I really want him to be saved. I don't want to leave him. So I said, okay. But she said, he's not the sort of person you can invite to church or talk to about Jesus. He'll beat me up again. So I said, all right, let's pray. You got that hanky? We prayed for it. We actually anointed it with oil. I said, God, let the anointing be so powerful in this hanky. I said, put it in his pillowcase and don't tell him. And she put that in his pillowcase. He was sleeping on it the whole night. And he woke up about 3 a.m. and said, this darn pillow. He said stronger words than that. Darn pillow, and threw it away. He said, what's wrong with that stupid pillow? She said, it makes me think about God. That's the truth. She said nothing. Didn't tell him nothing. 2 weeks later, that man was born again. I can keep you with many testimonies like that. Of people who brought necklaces of people, of ladies with cancers and all sorts of problems, and they put the necklace on their thing, and they've gone back to their doctors and been completely healed, just like that. This is real stuff, friends. It's all from the Bible. It's not witchcraft. That's why I just read that scripture there. This is real. I've seen him do it thousands of people all over the world. And look at verse 18 of Acts 19. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed their evil deeds. He must have been a sure good preacher of the gospel, old Paul. And a number of those who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together, or we'd say in our days, Ouija boards and all that stuff, and burnt them publicly. When they had calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. Now, one drachma, friends, is a silver coin worth one day's wage, just one drachma. So work that out, 50,000 drachma, they would be millions of dollars in our days of books and sorcery books all thrown into the fire because they're coming to Christ. I'm telling you, that's radical. But in revival, these sort of things begin to happen. It's so true. And Paul, he taught the word of God, he preached it. But this was just normal to them to move in the power of God. It's become abnormal in the church. So God has to send people with a revival spirit into a town like this to get everyone stirred up. And I was thinking, wow, wow, wow. But the reality is it should be just normal church. But even the Pentecostal church would become so religious that we think a moving of the Holy Spirit if someone runs out and cries because they've got a broken heart. And God bless everyone. He's got a broken heart. God will heal a lady here last night of a broken heart. But what I mean is we just limit it to that, even though that's important. God can do what he likes. I've seen people under powerful anointing start to levitate off the floor. Just bang on the floor, crash, crash, no catches. Then they go, it's like slow motion. And they're about this far above the ground. I think, that's pretty cool. It doesn't bother me. I know it's God because I can see the anointing. It's like John Wesley. A lot of people used to say to him, what about the falling down of the power? Is that emotionalism? Is that people pushing people down? What is that? And John Wesley said, because what had happened was a woman he laid hands on just fell crack on the floor. No catches. And she was out. So members of the congregation were saying to him in this church he's preaching at, is that God or the devil? Surely God doesn't put people out. You know, he couldn't even be bothered debating with him. You know what he said? Okay, I'm not going to preach. Let's all just watch this lady. And if she gets up off the floor and thinks, oh, I'm so oppressed, I feel like I've been attacked by demons the last half an hour, we'll know it's of the devil and we will not allow this manifestation again. But if she gets off the floor and gives praise to God, we know it's God. And the rest of you then can shut your mouths because we'll let it happen. So 40 minutes later, this woman comes out of it and says, glory to God, I saw Jesus. And he says, it's God, it's God. You can all shut up now and let's get on with the meeting. Proof's in the pudding, man. I challenge atheists in my meetings. And if there's anybody here who doesn't believe in being slain in the spirit, shut your mouth and come out here. When I call you out, come to the front. And if I lay hands on you and you feel nothing, get out of my meeting, I'm a fake. But if you start to feel the power of God coming on you, I say, that's a bit arrogant. It's not arrogant at all. I'm totally confident, not in me, but in God. I told you I put in a challenge out to young people in our city once in a church in Sydney. And also in Perth, because I planted churches all over Australia. And I said, oh, God, I'm sick of just seeing Christians coming. I said, all right. I said, I want you to get the word out to the druggos. And I put an advert out that I want all you young people between the ages of, I put a thing on it, from 15 to 18. I want you to come, all those on drugs. And I want you to come to the front of the church, and I'm going to lay my hand upon you. And if God doesn't give you a greater high than your drugs, I will go out after the meeting and buy you all the drugs you want. I said, that's not God. Well, I did it. So the first night we have over 30 show up. I thought, oh my God. We had a church of 400, so that was okay. But anyway, they all come out. And I told them, guys, come sit on the first two rows. And I said, you're to be here in the praise and worship. You're to keep your mouth shut. Because people are here worshiping God. I'm going to preach. And then I'm going to answer you. If you don't do that, the deal's off. I said, no, we'll do that. Because they're all on church kids between the age of 15 to 18. Anyway, came to the end of the meeting. And I think I preached for about 10 hours that night. No, I preached for about half an hour. And I called them all out. I said, come on, line at the front. I'm as bold as a lion. And in my heart, I'm thinking, oh, God, you better show up. Me and my big mouth. And I began to walk up to these guys. And said, the power of God's coming on you. I said, the people are standing behind you. You have to explain everything. It just helps you to the ground. And I said, because you're going to get it all, feel all wobbly. And you're going to fall down. But don't worry, that's God. And stay down there till you feel that nice presence lift off you. And every one of them fell under the power of God. Totally unchurched people. Now get this. Quite a number of them falling down, speaking in tongues before they were saved. If you're watching this downstairs, Vaughn, work that one out. I'm telling you, and they got saved because of it. Anyway, we'll get off that one. But anyway, they're all down under the power of God, and then after about half an hour, I was just ministering to other people without having a nice time, and I could hear them. I was walking by them, and they're talking to each other on the floor, saying, wow, man, I've never had a high like this. And just think it's for free. Let's bring all our friends here next week. We'll save ourselves hundreds of bucks, man. This is what they're saying to each other. Never lost a bet once. Used to get atheists. And every atheist, every agnostic, usually in crusade meetings where people, that sort of people come, in tent meetings. I said, I want you to come out here if you've got enough guts to. I'd really intimidate them. I'm going to get them angry at me. I said, by the time you come to this front row, you won't even get past it. You will collapse. I said, nobody's going to push you. The deacons aren't there with their foot out or anything like that. You're just going to. And I used to say, one time there's three guys came out, two on that side, three. And they're coming out and say, this guy's an idiot. They got to the front and they suddenly went, oh, bang, crashed to the floor. Then they got up and ran out after the experience. They didn't come to, and I said, yeah, God's real, you chickens, you should give your life to him, come back. I almost was going to run after him, but I better not. You can't outdo God's power, friends. So if you're resisting anything I'm saying, please just look at me with a smile, because I'm in that mood tonight to call you out just for the heck of it. I don't feel any resistance, but sometimes I do, and I get this anointing on me of real cheekiness. I think, so you don't believe what I'm saying here? Well, come here, I'll put my money where my mouth is. Never fails. People suddenly start smiling all over the place. I'm with you, Steve, I'm with you. Don't worry, I'm really a nice guy. See, every night's different. This night's a real cheeky night. I feel the boldness of a lion. I feel like I could rip hell apart tonight. That's what in worship tonight, that was warfare. I'm telling you, we were pushing back powers of darkness. And I haven't heard worship like that since the 80s. My church in the 80s, we used to do that for hours. And we busted, through so much in the spirit and realm. And that same spirit was there tonight. I thought, wow. That's a sure sign that the heavens are starting to... The devil's getting worried about this revival. He's starting to get worried. And he's going to get more worried. Won't be long before this church will be packed every meeting it puts on. Because people start thinking, oh, yeah, well, it's not about the vineyard. They're not trying to recruit me here. And mind you, if you don't go to church, this is a great church to come to. It really is. If you're from another church, feel comfortable. No one's trying to recruit you here. Unless you feel to come here, that's different. But, you know, you just come. It's a citywide thing. Pretty soon we might not be able to have this building. It'll be too big. The crowds, I mean. I honestly believe that. But you've got to have continuity for that to happen. People have got to know, yeah, well, on Tuesday night it's going to be a school of ministry. That'll be good to learn about all that stuff. Next week it's different because you've got a guest speaker. It's a part of the revival from England. But then the week after it'll just be Tuesdays, school of ministry. Kingston Fire, school of ministry. They have a break till Friday. Then Friday night, it'll be me firing gung-ho with revival. You know, Saturday morning, Kingston Fire, school of the Spirit. Saturday night, Kingston Fire Revival, and it'll be for the people in this church because there's a normal Saturday night meeting for them, and that'll be a fantastic meeting. Then Sunday night, and we're going to do that, will be Kingston Fire Revival meeting again. And we're going to have that every week. And you see, once people begin around the city, begin to say, this is for real. Even the evangelist who's leading the thing, he's moved here. It must be pretty real. All these things, for people who are a little bit worried, start to think, well, this is okay. This is okay. This is okay. And then it starts to happen. People start coming from everywhere. And some won't like it. And some will check us out. Then they'll go and others will go. That's okay. Years ago, I used to say, when people used to get up and walk out of my meetings, everybody look at them and say, bye-bye, religious devils. But that was rude. Because I used to find out some were going out because they were shift workers or something like that. So I've grown up a little bit since those days, a little bit. And now, it doesn't matter. People get exposed to... I mean, imagine if you came from a religious organized church and you came into a meeting like this and you get, and I'm saying the most radical things from the platform. It's got to freak people out. Huh? To them, someone been touched with the love of God in the meetings, that's it. To them, to see one person saved every 4 years, wow, revival. Then they come to a place like this where everyone's radically praising God for an hour and a half, sometimes longer. And the preacher just gets out there and says the most, well, to me it's normal, but to them it'd be, wow. So some people can't handle it. They can handle it for half an hour. They've just got to get up and go. That's okay. At least they came. Huh? It's a weight-bearing capacity. Very good. Aggravating listening to somebody. You chew like an old cow. But I like him. Sorry, that went down the wrong hole, that one. How many of this is your first night here? You haven't been to these meetings before. How you doing? You doing okay? Quite a few people. Welcome. You doing okay? You handling it? How many of you have been here before, but you're not from this church, you're just visiting tonight? Put up your hand. Quite a lot, but there's also a good crowd from the church too. That's good. That's very good. And that is quite normal for a revival meeting. Lots and lots of visitors. Once you start just getting the church folk showing up and no visitors, it's gone from revival to the good meetings. And yeah, simmer down, you know. Go somewhere else and bring revival. But whether there's a large crowd packed out or three quarters full or whatever, you know, but there's a lot of visitors, 40, 50% visitors, you know full well God's on the move. Every single night here, it's been 40, 50%, sometimes higher than that, visitors. Every night we've had meetings. And that is phenomenal. That means there's interest in this city. There's a lot of interest. And I just pray that some of you will go back to your pastors and say, you need to come to these revival meetings. You need to come in and check it out. Because every pastor thinks it's their church that's going to have revival. But the reason why God's using Vaughan is because they're not thinking revival. He's thinking right. He's not thinking local church. He's not trying to recruit everybody here into his church. He really has got a heart for the city, because Vaughan is not just a pastor. He's apostolic, prophetic ministry. I've heard him for years. That's why he's traveled over 70 countries over the years, 70 nations, preaching the gospel as a prophet of God. You're very, very blessed and privileged to have him in this city and in this church. You really are. I mean that. I'm not just buttering him up. Australians don't butter people up. We mean what we say. Am I inferring Americans don't? Yes. No, I'm not. No. But you know, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. A lot of that goes on in the body of Christ. Blah! Makes me feel like vomiting. Not on you, but... The Bible says to give honor where honor is due. And you see, the key to this revival is Jesus Christ, friends. Come on Wednesday and Thursday, still a part of a Kingston revival. He's a great preacher coming from England. Not just a great preacher, man of the Holy Ghost and fire. So it's not going to change. It's not going to suddenly go to normal meetings for 2 days. Because if it was that, it would kill the revival take me 2 weeks to get it back again. But he's going to preach. Vaughan's told him, look, we want you to come as a teacher or whatever. We want you to come in your evangelistic Holy Ghost fire. And we're going to have great meetings with him. We're going to be here too, enjoying his ministry. And then Friday, you're stuck with me again. And boy, and next week, we're getting into it, man. You know, come, book up for the, well, we're mentioning it on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, but come to this. Hey, Dorothy, you know, coming to, thanks for this couple too. They're letting us stay with them. They're a wonderful couple, this too. But you see, revival is all about Jesus Christ, not about a man. As long as whoever's leading it is allowing the Holy Ghost to move, it doesn't matter who's up there actually. I hope to train a lot of you young fellas in the same spirit that I've got, but in your style, in your way. So you can get up and lead in a revival. We can send you anywhere in the world. Because missions trips, Vaughan's already planning missions trips overseas for teams to come from this revival, to take that revival wherever it is. You see, that's what we've got to start thinking. See, Joshua, friends, you know, we always think, well, once the revival breaks out in Kingston, then we'll worry about the world. No, Jesus says get a worldwide vision first. Because in Joshua, it says, see, in Joshua 1, see the length and breadth of the land. I've given it to you. The land of Canaan is yours. He showed him the whole length and breadth of the land. But then, 5 chapters later, thereabouts, in Joshua 5 or 6, he says, see, I've given you Jericho, which was just a part of Canaan. Now, that was a drop in the bucket for Joshua. Why? Because God had put in his spirit the whole length and breadth of the whole land, which Jericho is just a little city, a little pinprick in comparison with the whole land of Canaan. And that's what God's doing here. He wants to put a worldwide vision in your hearts. So when we believe that our parish, our destiny is the world, to touch it with Jesus Christ, and this revival is going to touch the world, then to take Kingston's a drop in the bucket. All we've got to do is hear from God and the right strategies how to do it. But if you think it's going to be Kingston and then we'll grow into the world, it'll never happen. You've got to have the world in your heart. Because Jesus even said it, go into all the world and preach the gospel. But he also said, start off in Jerusalem, your next door neighbor, tell them about Christ. But when you've got a worldwide vision in your heart, It's easy, it's pie to witness to your next door neighbor because you've got the whole world in there. If you haven't got the whole world in there, ask Jesus right now. Say, put it in me. A vision for the world to come to Christ. There's nothing for me to believe that because, you know, 24, 26 hour plane trip, and you're at the other side of the world just like that. I've done that three or four times a year, backwards and forwards from Australia to England, South Africa, which is not too bad. That's only about 80 hours, but this is the long one here. Gosh, 26, 30 hours with stops. But that's okay. You get off feeling a bit groggy. Then you're straight into meetings. I usually preach. I was up until I moved here 6 or 7 times a week for 4 weeks straight. You get back on the plane and get back to Australia and then do the whole thing again over there. Whew. But for some reason, he wants me over here now. Well, probably because I'm married an American. That might be part of the reason. But I was fully planning to go take my wife back to Australia in May. I was going back. I was just going to come and visit you guys. I'd had enough of America. I want to back my own nation. I'm an Aussie. It's like if you were visiting Australia, you'd want to come back to your own nation. And God's just turned everything upside down. It's all your fault. No, it isn't. It's Roy Field's fault. Why did you invite me here, Roy? Yeah, I'm only kidding. It's just Aussie humour. It's a bit cynical. You better haircut. Suits you. Shave it all off next time. Shave your face off too. Be good. No, I'm kidding. I'm just teasing you. Get that worldwide vision in your heart, friends. Get that worldwide vision in your heart. Oh, my God. How is it going to look? Allison, come out here, please. Where's that other person I saw? This is in worship before. I've got to do this. Sorry, I'm not calling your future husband out. It's nothing to do with that. Where is he? It's one other guy. I'll suss you out in a second. Come out, wherever you are. This is one gentleman God showed me. I think he's disappeared. But that's okay. That's all right. Just come and face me, Allison. This is the Lord's told me to do this. Could you put my worship tape on? Yeah. Sorry, I'm out to it here. Hey, don't you hold on there. I'm going to hold it. I'm going to read this. Then we're going to do something here. Whoops. Just stretch your hands towards the friends. Acts 2:14. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I'll pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even upon my servants, both women, men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire, vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, will be saved. It's in the last days I'll pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. You know something, Allison? God is commissioning you this night. He's putting a call of God that he wants you to do something about it immediately. I know it, I know it. I know a couple of weeks ago when I said God was pulling that revivalist anointing on you. And when your dad looked at you this morning and said, somehow, Allison, you've got to start getting over missions again, getting on that track again. And God's going to commission you this night. The power of God's going to hit you. And it's going to overwhelm you. But then you're going to get up on your feet. And then you're going to begin to prophesy. And God's going to put something in your spirit of what he's going to do in the end times. He can put something in your spirit about a revival that's going to touch young people. Whatever it comes into your spirit, it's going to happen for the glory of God. I'm not mucking around. This is truth. This is real. You watch what's going to come out of her mouth in a few minutes from now. I was saying to God, don't let this just be another meeting. Me walking around, calling people out. I mean, I'll do that all night if that's what the Holy Ghost. But I want something a bit deeper than that tonight, Lord. something that commissions people. There's a side of my ministry that's released hundreds of people in ministry over the years. And most of them get, it happens quickly. You know, before Roy went to the Lakeland Revival, I'll tell you the truth. This is what happened. He's in one of my meetings, isn't he, Cher? In Elmira. And Roy had the night off. He was just up there in Johnson City. And he came to my meeting. Not in Elmira, in Endicott, just near Johnson City. And he comes in and he's, because Roy used to come like coming around with me and leading my worship. And all he wanted to do was sell his CDs. I told somebody that, which is funny now because he's in worldwide ministry. But before Lakeland, in fact, it was the day before he went, and he thought he's only going to a seminar with Todd Bentley for 4 days, 5 days. He comes up and I feel to pray for him. And as he falls on the ground, I said to him, your ministry is going to be known over the next few weeks. That's what I said to him. Over the next few weeks, your ministry is going to be known through media worldwide. You're going to be asked by the greatest preachers on earth to speak and to lead worship in their churches, and you're going to bring revival wherever you go. And I said, 3 weeks from now, you'll be known worldwide. Nobody knew Lakeland Revivals were going to break out. He knew it was God. I'm thinking, I've prophesied over people. You know what it's like, Vaughn, naming dates. It gets a bit dangerous because people lose trust in your ministry if it don't come to pass. Anyway, he goes there, and it's only 4 or 5 days after that, a week, revival breaks out. And within a few weeks, because of God, television, all that sort of thing, he was known worldwide. And he gets invitations from the greatest churches all over the planet Earth now. And he gets asked by the most incredible gospel musicians to do CDs with him now. Now, that's not about me, this man of God that I was on. No, but God released my ministry. And what I'm saying is usually when I prophesy over people, it happens straight away. Sometimes when people prophesy, it happens years later. But with me, it's like a now thing. It happens within weeks usually. I'm saying that for your faith to be stirred, that he's the God of the now. What I'm saying over here isn't going to be 5 years. It's now, right now. God's commissioned her. And she's got to get in ministry now. And some of you people have known what she's been through the last few years. Forget about it and get behind her. Because that's just like God to do that. He's not worried about your little feelings. What he's worried about is commissioning people to do the gospel, to do the work of ministry. We'll just let her stay there for a few minutes longer. Seriously, Allison, in your heart, look for that word of the Lord because it's coming. Now that's putting somebody on the spot, isn't it? Marvelous. Gosh, I feel the Holy Ghost. I wish the devil was in here tonight. I'd rip him apart. You look too nice. I can't. Mr. Purple, could you come here? I'm not going to rip you apart. You're too big. But you got to just lift your hands. God wants to touch you with his power. And I want you to receive it. Just receive it. Just receive it. There it goes. It's filling you right up right now. Because God wants to use you for his glory. For the glory of God. For the glory of God. In Jesus' mighty name. Fire, 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 fire. In Jesus' mighty name. Yes. Yes. Miss Praying Hands, could you come here? I don't know. I just see God's glory on people. It's weird. There it is right there. Now, Lord Jesus, just put it through her body right now. In Jesus' mighty name. I can see that glory. It's on your head and it's just covering your head right now. And it's, you can feel it, can't you? And now it's just coming on your shoulders. It's coming down upon your body. It says, there you are. It's hot. He's covering. That's what the glory of God does with people. Mind how anybody can do that. I can teach you how to do it. This took months and months of fasting as a young man to get into this realm. Now it's easy. Trouble is with me now, I've got to press in for more. I've come at a level, I need to be a lot higher level than this. How are you doing there, Allison? Give her another minute or two. Who are you guys? No, I don't think I've seen you before. If I have, forgive me. All of you, come out here, please. I want to pray for you. Could you all come out? Come on, quickly, quickly. I've not got all day. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Just come on right over here. Don't be shy. Just come face me. Forget about the people. Forget about me. I want you, God, you come to this meeting tonight, receive, and he's going to touch you with power. Okay? Hey, where's the others? There's three. There, yeah. Oh, there he goes. Poor old Joshua. That's not your fault, Joshua. This is what happens. Just come over here, guys. The power of God's electric in here tonight. If you've got a person behind you, that's why catches. Stand close to these people because some of them are going to fall pretty heavy. And I'm telling you, just let them roll onto your shoulder and then it'll save you a lot of problems. But that wasn't Joshua's fault. The guy was flying. That was very good, Joshua. I thought you were going to do a somersault, man. Hello, how are you? You're nervous? I would be too. But it's all right. When the Holy Ghost touches you, it's always to bless. Now, you might feel a bit wobbly. I'll lay my hand upon you. You might go, oh, God, all I'm saying is yield to it. Because I'm not going to push you down. But just yield to it. Don't resist it. Just because God just wanted to break you free and break you into some brand new world with him. What I get that impression of, you know, Noah and the ark, they came through that flood in that ark into a brand new world. Now, you're not in an ark, but you're in your own ark called your life. And God's wanted to bring your life into a brand new world of opportunity. And it's going to be how much you yield to him tonight depends on what that'll be. Would you just lift your hands to Jesus? Just close your eyes. Just say, Jesus, touch me. Oh, my Jesus. Bring this wonderful lady into a brand new world. Oh, there it is. I let that power of God just touch you. See, if I hadn't said all that to her, that wouldn't happen then. She would have just stood there. Because she was nervous. Some people are. Some people aren't used to this sort of meeting, so they go, ooh, that's embarrassing to be called out in front of a lot of people. Especially somebody, some of you guys. Look, have a look around. Gosh. No. You look great. It's okay. Aussie humor. Hello. You got a nice smile. All right. Just lift your hands. Father, touch this wonderful lady. I just want you to give her an experience in you, God. It's so great, so wonderful. Come upon her in your power, Lord. Oh, you feel you're very open to God. You're going to be used tremendously by God. And just open right up on the inside. You just like opening up a door. Open it right. Oh, there it is. Oh, you're as open as any. Through you now. So he hits him over the head with a microphone. I must admit, it does look like I do that, but I don't. Man, you should see the glory of God on this lady's face. Hey, Elaine, have a look at her face. Look at that. No, don't you keep it. I took you out of it. Sorry. You could really feel that, couldn't you? There we go. Look at her. That's marvelous. It just fascinates me. That's all. Yeah, oh, you're under the power already, lady. That's wonderful. It's all over you. It's all over you. Oh, you're as tight as anything. You're too worried about falling down. Since I lay my hand on you, you're tightened up. That's all right. Most Americans do. Now, what I want you to do is just take a deep breath. Come on, take a deep breath and let it all go. I'm not going to force it on you. Touch your soul right now. It's all right. She's getting it. Part of this training school we're going to start, my part, and I'm going to be teaching people how to open up and receive. We need it in revival, because then what will happen is in the middle of worship, if the power of God hits, you'll respond way before an altar call. You'll be bodies all over the place in worship, just as the worship team are leading, because you've taught yourself how to open up. We just expect that it's going to happen at the end of a meeting. So then we open up, some of us. But if we all come open, it can happen any time. She'll get it. Bless you. Thank you so much for coming tonight. How you doing there, sir? You a bit nervous? You okay? You look like you're used to this. Just lift your hands. Well, God's going to blast you. You know, because he's got his hand mightily upon you. He wants to use you to touch thousands of people for Jesus Christ. He wants those hands to be laid upon people's heads and see them recover for the glory of God. Because his glory and his power just wants to come upon you. And all you got to do is receive it. Just receive it. Get yourself out of it. He said, no, you didn't. Oh, yes, you did. I feel like I'm schizophrenic talking to myself. Forget about these people. Forget about me. Just look to Jesus right now. All I'm trying to do is get the power of God into you. Oh, let it flow into him, God. Oh, there it is. Whoops. When people are under the power of God, if you're helping out the front or if you walk near them, please make sure you're looking at where you're walking. Because one lady had a finger almost crushed last night, which is under the power. Someone walked over it. And she was okay. But that had hurt. You're under the power of God. Someone walks on their hand. So just watch where you're walking. I'm sure nobody deliberately does that. I'm sure Pastor Vaughan hasn't assigned anybody here to walk on people's fingers. If I could have a couple of helpers to help Alison up. She's had carpet time for too long now. Now, seriously, she's just going to get up and however it comes... She's out to it, man. Are you ready? It's on you, isn't it? Speak it out. You want to speak it out there? You let it out, I'm telling you, it'll flow.
Ignition. All consuming, a total consumption. If you let any lay down, a total consumption. Don't fear it. I feel the authority. I'm laughing at the weakness. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. You have no idea. We have no idea. We have no idea what we are, who we are. Show us, Father. Show me, show me. Oh, say to Santa Teresa Sunday. Oh. We are conduits for him. I wish you guys could feel this. It's crazy. Whatever you have to do, God and me, whatever. I totally surrender. Whoa. I just see giants rising up in this room. Giants rising up. Spiritual giants with... with authority in their voices and fire in their eyes. Who? Be willing to be a fool. Be willing to be a fool. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, man. I just... Oh, Father, I thank you. I have no words. But my spirit, if it could speak, I can't. There's so much power here. You just plug in. Just plug in. You can take some from me, please. Oh, man. Oh, Father, I remember my first love in you. I remember. Oh, nothing compares to it. Nothing. Oh, Jesus. Remember your first love. If you've never felt it, ask for that first love experience. Oh, ask him now. Oh, he wants you to have it so bad. Oh, Jesus. That first love. That heritage that is yours. Oh. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, Shintitina. There's such a huge number in this church. There's a huge number that are going to do this. Whoa. Oh, there's a huge number. Oh, man. Oh, Shintitina be Sunday. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Touch our hearts, Father. Set our hearts on fire. Oh, this that I feel right now, it's a pressure. And I feel the oil coming out. I feel the anointing squeezing out of me. I feel a pressure. I can't explain it. Don't fight that pressure. If he's doing it to you right now, don't fight it. Submit to it. Oh, man. There's a time and a purpose for everyone in this room. There's a time and a purpose. It's so much bigger than this. It's so much bigger. Oh, laughing because it's excitement. It's not. It's excitement. Just seeing a piece of it. It's so much bigger. Oh. Oh, Jesus. There's no shame in this place that I'm in right now. I feel no shame. I feel no judgment. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Feel no shame and feel no judgment right now. This must be perfect love. Perfect love. Whoa. Oh, man. Oh, I have such an righteous anger coming in me now. Oh. No more. No. Mm-mm. Oh, thank you, Jesus, right now that you're releasing those lions. Oh, I see a pride of lions tearing, and they're just tearing through. Whoa. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Just be obedient and yield to it. Just yield to it. This perfect love. I'll fall over.
That's great. Now look, she got tremendous anointing on her. How many of you want on your life what she's got on her right now? Just put up your hand. I mean, you want it right now. Don't put up your hand unless you really want it, because it'll be pretty heavy. Well, I don't know how we're going to do this, but call those people come down the front. She's going to pray for you. I'll help her. But she's got it on her. She's got to release it. See, this is the commissioning of a ministry here tonight. I'm telling you, revival speeds things up in people's lives. Oh, my goodness. Bring her out the front here, because if I can have quite a few people, maybe a few deacons can help me, just face me. Just face me and just line up. Just come a bit closer. That's good. And come expecting to receive. I really mean this, folks. Because there's a lot of you, so she's not going to be able to spend a lot of time with all of you. Keep our focus on Jesus here. We'll start here. So we're going to have helpers here. You just go lay hands on them and just receive. Lift your hands. You just go for it. Just release what's on you. That's right. Just release it out of you. In Jesus' name. That's it. Let it out. My God. Sanka bodies. Sorry. Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you. Such an anointing here. Jesus. Now just receive this. You keep going for it. Let the power of God fly through every one of these people, Lord Jesus Christ. Every single one of them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It's all right, guys, just receive it. This is God. Don't just wait for it to come. Let it come on you now. Thank you. Keep going, Allison. Keep going. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Mansakarabastis to get a baby's to be kidabistis to the Banamans and Amanda. It is so strong, it is so strong. Just turn the tape up a bit, just a bit. Thank you. Oh, if you feel the Holy Ghost, just speak in tongues. Just keep yourself full of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, this is a strong anointing here. You're receiving what experience she's had. It's all happening out here. Let that joy just bubble up in your bellies. Great part of revival, friends, is releasing ministry. You got a lot to go. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Sala babro babusti kiri kira bebre bebisti sti kira manda. Ha ha, shi kira bansu kiri kira man bresti sti kira man brotu kira manda. Me shi kira bastu kiri kira man brondu kira besti sti kira mende. U shi kira mansu kira vendi di mindi kira mansu lo bom bom brostu sti kira manda. Masu kira vendi di besti sti kira kira man brondu kira besti. Mansu kira bastu di vidi vidi. She got also get a baby to get a man, so get a bab rubber was to get a man, to get a mende. Jean bomb bomb is this to get a beast, this to get a bam bam bam, but it means to get a vende. Rita capostula vacant a man, to get a man, so good a man, don't a man a mende. Me, she got a band, so good a bantle of ink, got a bantle of vestis day. Support of uncle of vestis to get a band, so the vende, a man a mende. Maha, she got a band, so get a vende, bebreads to get a man, so good a bundle. Shika bas get a vent, Sika bomb bronto the vestis to get a mende. Baki the vent get a vent, the vestis to go to get a man to the vende. Lala babro vek get a vestis to get abandoned on the mende. Give mama so get a vent get a baka, ushi ve, ratti the vent get a bustus to go to mando. Mamma and a meniman don't abend the vendis to go to get a babro to the mando. Yeah, keep waiting on him. Keep waiting on God. Keep waiting on God. Oh, shahasa for the answer of being get a bang, get a bench, get a good amount, bumble of this is to get a beverage, to get a man, so the vendor, vendor, vendor. Make a ha, man of us to get a beverage, to get a man, so get a man, get a man, so get a man, so get a man, so get a man. Ega ya mama 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 brebi mistis tis tis tafara bando le vestis te caramando asso for a becchi le vestis tis te gere caramanzo che lo man brutto le vene mi ha ha la man di andun gala manzi di vengi di vendi di vendi la man bom 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 tis tis te gere caramanzi di ve ye ya man bom 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 gala vestis tis 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 te gere gere be bretti ti ti capo tu di vanzo di ve che di andun la mesti che di ara halamante gere vende Meshi Karamansu, the Bonton Manamansu, Girigaramansu, the Veke, the Bere, 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 Bebisti Karamando, also for a Bansu Karamansi, the Bere, Bere, Bebe, Bristis, to get a Mende, Manamansu, get a Bam Brandi, the Estis, to get a Bam Branda, get a Bebe, Bebistis, to get a Venti Karamando, Ruta Ramansu, the Veke, the Bansu, the Venge, the Venge, the Bansu, the Venti, the Vespo Karamanda, Mika Babu, the Veti, Bede, Papa, Papa, Bush, to get a Garbango, Garabesti. Messica babrutto le venci le vanzo le vanco la benga le vanzo che la manda ma che la vonto le vesti sti che le ven ben resti sti che le vende uscia la venga le vanzo le venga le vende che la manzo le venga le van van bom le vecchi le vende le vesti mingam bango le manzo che le vende che la posto che le vette oh my god my god my god shaka la manzo che le vende che la manzo che la manda keep hanging in the folks keep pressing into God it'll be worth waiting for Oh, we hunger for it, God. 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 We hunger for you. We hunger for you. We hunger for you. Man sukara bansi le venga le bendi le vistis tis tu gara gara babro tu le visti. Misi kam bansi le venga na man sukara baka le vistis tu gara man sukara manda. He kapato le bensi le rambundo le vistis tis tu gara mando. Rita the man sulivi to the back of the banchi livedi by the babra roba bustis to get a manda. Maha so get a vensiki and bombola vestis to get a betti di vesti. He shaka hansu the vandola mensi get a man bombola mana mena mende. Beer of umbrastus to go to get a bambrando la vestis to get a bebre bebis to get a manda. Mika hama mansu get a bebre bebe bebe babore bebe bebe vesti. Mika a bansu the vicar a bansu get a vendi get a mando. Maha mama mona vestis tis tigiri kere ba braba bush tis tigiri kere da. Shangam bam bram bas tis tigiri kere men si kere bende. Shiga la ban su di bich kere men si kere bende be be ba braba bush tis. Shaka man si kere ben si kere ba braba bush tis tis tigiri ben si kere mando. Hika pa 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 ra bas tis tis tigiri vestis tis tigiri manda. Man si kere bende di bende di bas tis tis tigiri la man si kere ben si kere manda. Make a man bram bam bam a man sick in a vendi the best is to stick it a babra braba bush to stick a manda. He can baba sick in a best. Well, speak it out. Close to here, because that's the good place.
I just want to encourage you that when I was laying on the floor laughing there, I was seeing those same giants that Alice was talking about with the fire in their eyes. And they were, you know, they were as tall as this room. And there was thousands of them. And there was glowing figures laying on the ground, crawling away from them in fear. They were just backing up like, oh, don't hurt me, don't hurt me. And I felt God saying that those are the things that have been over your life. Those are the things that have seemed like giants to you, that have been hovering over your life, that have been saying, you'll never make it, you'll never be good enough. And now it's time to laugh in their face, because we're beginning to see who we are in Christ. We're beginning to see that we are the giants, and that they're the ones that should be afraid of us. And it's time for us, church, it's time for us to rise up and laugh in their face. For them to start cowering in the corner. For them to get out of our lives, Lord. So I'm encouraging you. If this is the first time you've ever felt this, if this is the first time you've ever laughed, laugh. Because it's time for us to laugh in their face with the joy that God's giving us.
Good on you, mate. It's good. Mushi fan bonzi le vengera man su cura man blondo le vesti sti sti cura manda. Hei ka fa bona man su le vengera vesti sti sti cura man su le vengera vesti. Ye ma ma mo la mongera vesti sti 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 cura manda bana man di vesti sti sti cura manda. Bas su le vengera bon su le veki di an su cura man su le mende. Touch him all with the fire of God, touch him all with the fire, with the fire, with the fire. Touch them all, there's the power of God, there's the power of God. There's the power of God. Man, so can a best to be this to be. Get a bus to get a man, so the bend in the bed to the bed to get a bus to stay very man, she get a manda. Mark and a bun, so the beast is to go to bum blusters to get a bus to get a bendy, come on, she'll have end there. Make home bum bum blusters to get a best to get a best to the wake at a man, so the mondo. Ma, she get a bendy, the bed to the bed, the bus to go to get a man, so the mondo. Kun sambon don dan dan gale bendi le bendi le bisti ye ha ha siko kula boshti le veki le bendi le bendi meke le hesi ya kula boshti le veki le bando man suke le venci le veki le bansu le veki le bansu le veki le bansa man gala mandi le bendi le bendi le bando no masti ke le bendi le vesti sti buti le bendi le vesti stu kala batti le bende. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Awesome power, awesome power. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you. God, keep filling her, keep filling her, keep filling her, keep filling her. Man, take on a man, say, get a man, say, get a man, and God, boom, blah, 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 get a man. Man, God, I wish this is to get a man, to get a man, to get a man. Yes, you get a band, see the bit of ending, get a band, brum, 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 rest, this is to get a baby. Yes, you get a band, this is a band, so the bending, get a vest, this is to get a betty, get a manda. Messi get a band, so the big get a band, see the bit of man, a man, a man, got a man, to get a vest, this is to get a bending. Oh, she come under the power, 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 the power of God. Mangala man si gire vetti di vetti di vetti di vetti di gira men si gira manto man su gira vetti da basti di vetti da man bombre vistus tutta gara man su gara manda
Run to come and see very animals to get a man, see get a bit of a baby, just to get a man there. Here she comes. Nanda get a beast is just a good above Rapa Bush to get a minimum day. Lady bit of a barabe beast is just to get a man so good of Ambron Dona Mesh is to get a babre beast just to get a manda. Mesh get a man so the vein get a man so the vein get a bambom bolebe get a man so the vein get a titty get a bestie. Ye capa paromon so the vein get a bendish just to get a bansi. My mama, I mean, man so the bongrong gola beast is just to get a mende. Yesa man siriana man sulu babro babosh tis to get a bebre babish tis to get a mende. Me ma ma mo 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 la men si get a bebre